Strap in, because here we are with the fastest half hour in commercial real estate. We got Casey Conway, the Red Shoe Economist. He's the head economist for the CCIMs. He's going to talk to us about what's going on in the economy and why he thinks Yogi Berra had it right. Welcome back, Casey.
Thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, buddy. Listen, it's been quite a run. It's since March. My favorite word is Blursday. If it wasn't for the radio show, I wouldn't know what day it is anymore. Everything's the same. It never changes. Everybody thinks that it's 2020 when they're doing 2018 when they're doing a real estate deal, and then they think it's 2021 when they want to get the equity out of the real estate deal. The real opportunities haven't really occurred yet that we thought were coming. A lot of people say they're never coming. I say just wait. Casey, what do you say?
I say, you know, I just wish Yogi was still with us. I've declared 2021 is the year of Yogi because all of his famous bearisms will actually make sense. It ain't over till it's over. Heck, we can't even get through elections and impeachment. The Fed and quantitative easing and devaluing the dollar. The pandemic, vaccinations. And I think when we get down this road here, the future is, as he said, the future ain't going to be what it used to be. We're not going back to 2018 and 19. We've had structural change, things like you guys have done and what you guys are even doing with, say, like a hemp industry. But here's the thing, Jim, that you help guide us all to. You got to be very careful if you don't know where you're going because you might not get there. There's Yogi. And my favorite one, he was a great mathematician because he always used to say, you better cut the pizza in four pieces because I'm not hungry enough to eat six or eight. So maybe we better cut our pizza into four pieces and we'll just eat a quarter. One fourth instead of a sixth or an eighth, right?
You're tremendous, Casey. Now, listen, there's a lot of sectors involved, but they all drive off of what you're an expert in, and that's logistics. We're seeing an increase in industrial space and a decrease in traditional retail space. You were giving me some numbers. If you could share them with our audience, I think it would be very informative. But I think there's a pretext. We have to realize that in the 80s and 90s, we were building these grocery anchored shopping centers, $100,000, 100,000 square feet at a pop, probably opening up one a day. That's probably stopping, but something else is starting.
Yeah, we've talked about kind of the convergence of retail and industrial and a Turduncan or something, but you're exactly right. In the 80s, we built retail stores because we all drove and we had a shop and pick up economy. We went there and picked it up. Now it's an order online and delivered to me. So we're replacing the store with the warehouse because we do all of the ordering and purchasing and shopping online and visual. So the numbers are staggering. I'll give you a couple because Prologis just released this. They're the largest industrial REIT in the country. So their new numbers for 2020 and their earnings numbers, they stated that they will build 100 million square feet of warehouse space this year. Put that number in perspective. That's half of what everybody used to build in a year, 200 million square feet. This is just one entity. The other thing they stated was they averaged 1,000 new warehouse leases a business day through 2020. So you're exactly right. Everything we used to do at the store and in person or at a mall or a shopping center, a large percentage of that, 50, 60% of that now is online. It's going through a warehouse. The warehouse is the new retail store.
You know, now, KG, warehouse is a new retail store, but they have to be located near people. You're talking about developing 100 million square feet of warehouse. Is this all going to just go up in the middle of the green fields like I've seen it happen in Ocala?
In some places, I wrote a paper about logistics infrastructure, where and why does it go? It wants to be aligned with ports and interstates and rail. And so in Florida, you have all those things. You have the most ports, you have great interstate system. You've got rail that can get up into, Central Florida and you become the Inland Empire there. So here's the other piece that's happening. We are going to recycle retail into industrial. And I put a term on it. It's called retail to industrial conversion. And CBRE has actually started producing a report. They're only tracking about 15 million square feet. I'm tracking about 100 million square feet. But what's happening is companies like Amazon and Walmart or Home Depot or big retailers, FedEx, when they build a new big mega industrial e-commerce warehouse, they're looking in those markets for 3 to 5 vacant big box retail stores that are in the zip codes that have all the high density and demographics that they're shipping to. And a real good example was in Hampton, Virginia. little small town, not you know, Atlanta, Orlando, Miami. And Amazon just went in there and they bought this closed Kmart for $50, $50, $60 a square foot. They put 10 into it to put a new roof on it with skylights and some upgraded paving to concrete. They put a triple net Amazon 20-year lease on it. It's now an industrial asset. It's now investment grade because it has an Amazon lease, and they're going to be doing a sale lease back at over $100 a square foot. Now, that's pretty cool stuff. And when you think about what you guys have in South Florida, all the old warehouse or all the old retail, look at a Dayland Mall, or look at what's been successfully done in Wynwood, what's going on in adaptive use master planning in Doral, you guys are right at the epicenter of this transition. But retail can become very effective as a last mile component. And when last mile is 50% of all logistics costs, these retailers have to figure it out. And they can't build 120 square foot, $180 square foot warehouses everywhere. They gotta, when you buy these retail assets at 50, put 10 in them and make triple your money, then that's a good way to make it all work again.
Wow, it sounds a great play for retail investors that have been looking for something to do in the retail space. I know a number of people that are bidding on some of the secondary and tertiary malls with just that thought pattern involved. Now, Casey, I know you have a local relationship with the Miami Board of Realtors. What have you been doing with them lately?
So they're on top of it. I tip my hat to your Miami and your Florida realtors. So we're working with them on a new adaptive reuse paper that we hope to have out in March, and present it late March, early April. And so what we discovered and what they were figuring out, they said, you know, Casey, when you first wrote about adaptive reuse 1.0 was you take an old asset that's turned blight, or maybe it was historic. It was an eyesore in the city, and we had to do something with it to make the urban area look better. So someone on a philanthropic basis stepped in, they put the money in, they fixed it, they redid the theater or, you know, the old rail station, and they made it into something cool and neat.
Festival retail.
So that was adaptive reuse 1.0. Now what's happening that's been accelerated by COVID is we're looking at adaptive reuse going out into the suburbs, out into neighborhoods. And instead of a single asset, how do you do a whole neighborhood? So Wynwood's a good example of that. Doral is a great example. You have a great realtor down there, Anne-Marie Rodriguez, got elected to the state legislature. That's her district. And they're looking at the whole area and saying, how do we plan and rethink this when we're going to have driverless cars and transportation and we want green space? And, you know, how do we take old, you know, a gas station and a car repair shop that we don't need anymore and all these other uses and integrate them into more of a homogenous and green type of area? So adaptive reuse 2.0 is expanding from single urban blight assets out into the neighborhoods and looking at it holistically. And the problem that it solves, the biggest challenge with adaptive reuse initially was that local government was afraid of it. They didn't want to do it. It might not work out. It might not get the same tax revenue. The mayor would get kicked out of office and they'd get fired. So when you bring them in and you work at planning a whole area, a block, a neighborhood, they embrace it, they get into it, and they're looking forward. And so we're looking at everything. Look at the green space that you're doing underneath the your light rail, all this integrated. Even Coral Gables is looking at not requiring parking for new development because they think it's all going to be driverless, or it's going to be a skidoo or a jet ski or something if the water rises, as they all predict. But all of these elements are coming in. And so I tip my hat. We're working with the South Florida Realtors, Miami Realtors on this paper. It'll be exciting stuff. We'll come on your show when we've got the paper ready to release. But it's adaptive reuse 2.0.
It's very exciting because, you know, adaptive reuse, like you said, was always like a redesign of a factory in Ybor City. And now it's repurposing an entire district that never had a single tree and putting trees and turnabouts and making it a residential neighborhood. Of course, there is the clash of old and new that's going on in Wynwood right now, but we could talk about that on another show. Can you hang out and do another segment with me, bud?
You bet.
All right, Reagan, take it away. We're going to come back with KC. We're going to talk about some more Yogiisms and what that does and what he thinks is going on in the real estate market and how it can impact your career. We'll be back with more with the CCIM head economist, KC Conway, after this. All right, we're back. We're back. I want to say that we're South Florida's longest running business talk show. Sorry, it took me a second. I was checking out the new pictures of my nephew. Love that little boy, Leo. Leo the Lion. He's named after my brother, too. Love that little boy. He's so cute. Got pictures of my sister there. I miss them. Traveling, I can't wait to be able to do that again. When I travel locally, I use my Warren Henry vehicle. How do you like that segue, Casey? Wasn't that awesome?
That's really good.
Thanks so much. You know, when I travel in my Warren Henry car. I'm going to go up there and look at my farm next week. I want to thank Warren. I want to thank Larry. I want to thank Jessica. I want to thank Samantha. There's a Jessica there, too, but I want to thank Samantha. And I want to thank Larry and Warren and all. Eric, that's it. All my friends at Warren Henry Abe. You know, I'm wearing my hat for Warren Henry Lamborghini. That's for Abe. And, you know, you got to go to Warren Henry. You got great cars. You know, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar up at 151st and Biscayne. They got the Lamborghini store up in Broward. My friends are, they all go there. My mom goes there. I go there. It's just a great place to be part of a family. I'm not giving you the real ad. I'm giving you the vibe today. I love them. Regan and I are going to go up there. We're going to make one of our videos. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. But they give great service. They're great people. You feel like you're part of the family. So important in today's world. Somebody that treats you like family. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. So are lots of my friends. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
Carlson from Carlson Integrated. You know, a lot of our clients find that they can do anything, but not really everything. We are always excited to jump in and help. So whether you need another set of hands for a project or even comprehensive marketing management, our team of marketing mavens would love to have a conversation with you to see if we are the right fit. We do everything from logo and design work to email outreach and social media to writing and thought leadership. And here's a fun one. We are now offering our fabulous ebook of top 10 marketing tips on our website for free. So head over to carlsonintegrated.com and grab a copy today. And please always let us know how we can help. My email is Becca, that's B-E-K-A-H at carlsonintegrated.com. That's B-E-K-A-H at carlsonintegrated.com.
She helps me look good every day. So does Reagan. Reagan, by the way, high five on the video you just produced for me that we just put up. Casey, when you come down here, we'll get Reagan to do a great video with you, too. Hey, call me. You can hear just by the content today and the way I talk that it's always all about when you call me. I'm helping all my friends. I've got some really high net worth guys and ladies that I'm helping with their home loans. They get W-2 income sometimes. Most of the times, they don't have W-2 income. And I help them navigate the loan process. It's not easy. I'm also helping a lot of my commercial clients refinance, recapitalize their deals. I'm doing a recap on some healthcare deals right now. I'm doing a bridge loan for some land. I'm also doing a high-rise construction loan. And I'm also providing $85 million for somebody to buy a note and mortgage. So when you're looking to do a real estate deal and you need to find somebody you can trust that knows the tricks, give me a call, 305-773-6300. I hang out with people like Casey Conway, so I know what I'm talking about. Call me. Why? Because whenever you call me, it's always all about you.
Welcome back to Freedom Business. Connect with us on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at Jim Fried or at Freedom Business. And on Instagram at JimFried1. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, we're having a great show today. I'm out here on the balcony because they're banging away on my apartment roof with the jackhammers today, so I couldn't take it anymore. I moved out here. We learned in the first half hour that to be successful in the current world during the pandemic, you need to be mindful. That means you need to be flexible and calm. That's what I'm doing out here on the balcony today. I'm joined by my good friend, Casey Conway, the Red Shoe Economist. Casey's the head economist for the CCIM. If you have an economic study you need, you call Casey right now. Casey, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. And just for you today, I put on my Jimmy Buffett parrot shirt. So, you know, the rest of the, I just want to be weather equal weather opportunity. It's miserable in the rest of the world. It's beautiful down there. So I put on my Jimmy Buffett. Next year will be the year of Jimmy Buffett. We'll figure out how to make all of Jimmy Buffett's songs and whatnot relevant to the economy. Wasted away in South Floridaville or something.
Actually, let's have a call later today, and we'll have a real fun time doing that. That could be your next write-up. I'll help you with that one. That's my specialty, is campy crazy stuff like that. So listen, Casey, we talk about logistics. We know Florida is well positioned to be logistics in this post-pandemic world. There's going to be a bunch of onshoring that goes on. What's the impact of the onshoring? What does that really mean?
Right. So a lot of people think that it's onshoring is going to die because Trump lost the election and we won't have tariffs and all that. And they're wrong. Companies have basically realized a lot about supply chain through the tariffs in the past couple of years and COVID. And what they realize is the Japanese model, the 1980s of just-in-time inventory doesn't work. And so they want all of their suppliers and their manufacturing closer and better integrated. And they're finding that our cost structures, our infrastructure, all that stuff is better here. So we're going to continue to see the onshoring. We've seen, you know, people forget site selection didn't end during COVID. We had a lot of site selection activity. I don't know how you guys let Huntsville, Alabama get the Space Command headquarters. That one, I'm still scratching my head over that one. Maybe Senator Shelby still has some clout. But, you know, Navistar went to San Antonio. Cadillac announced a big new EV Cadillac manufacturing plant in Tennessee. We have had a ton. Epic Games bought a mall outside Cary, North Carolina. They're going to put their headquarters. There's a ton going on in site selection and onshoring. So don't think it's dead. And with all the people that are moving to Florida from the rest of the world, it's all kind of messed up. You're going to see a lot more of the workforce, the assets, the sunshine, all of that's in abundance in Florida.
You know, what we're noticing here in Miami is that there's an incredible relocation that they've talked about for 20 years. It's finally happening, and it's Wall Street is coming. Everybody can't understand why. My personal impression is that the reason that they're coming is because they're not competing with Latin America anymore. The Latin American buyer is gone. So the pipeline to the 60s and 70s has reemerged. The pipeline from Philly, Chicago, and New York, mostly Boston a little bit. We've been selling upscale condos to tech entrepreneurs from San Francisco and Chicago just the last couple of weeks. And these are high-end people. They're buying two units, one for them and one for their executives that come back and forth and visit them. Miami is a real alternative now. Palm Beach County, even more so, I believe.
Yep. And then you look at the ad, you had the Bright Line, you know, and you can come in and you can get up to Orlando. Right now you go all the way, I think, north of Palm Beach. But, you know, you guys have your act together, and you think about, you know, the ports and the infrastructure, you know, the 5G and everything else. You've put all the pieces together.
So, Casey, putting your crystal ball together and assuming that we have some type of stability going into, at this point, I believe it's going to have to be the fourth quarter. What do you think is going to happen? I don't want to talk about indicators, GDP, GNP, any of that other stuff, because it's all a bunch of BS anyway that's manipulated by the government hacks that produce all the numbers, to talk like a Trumper for a second. But the real thing I would like to know is, what's the vibe that's going to happen? What do you think the vibe is going to be?
So I'll give you five fresh ones. So the first thing is, we got to get vaccinations right. And so there's a really good resource I'm tracking called Becker's Hospital Review, B-E-C-K-E-R-S. And they're tracking by state, the doses you get, how many of you are administrating and getting into people's arms, and it's not good. So you guys are doing pretty well, better than many others. I'm in Georgia, so, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, we're the bottom three or four. And we can't get 10% in. If we tell everybody it's cholesterol or, you know, some sort of fried food, we could probably take it, but not. So I'm tracking. If we don't get vaccinations right, and we're almost at the point where it's too late to really make spring break happen. So that hurts your leisure and tourism, your cruise ship industry. If we don't get it right in the next 60 to 90 days, then summer vacations get toast. And we're very close to that, because everybody's doing their bookings and whatnot, and hotels are trying to figure out if they can open. If we don't get that right, or your leisure and tourism industry really is pushed into next year. So I'm tracking the vaccination by Becker's. The next thing I'm tracking is this thing called Castle Systems, K-A-S-T-L-E. They're the entity that owns all the technology for all of our pass cards that get us in and out of buildings. And they publish the data on how many of us are going in and out of our buildings.
Oh my God, that must be amazing.
It is. So on office, it's like less than 20%. So less than one in five of us, if we don't get vaccinated and companies don't want to travel and they don't have meetings and they want to cut costs, it also does industrial and retail. So retail's not so much, but all the industrial warehouses and manufacturing plants, they're 80 to 90%. So the factory, the supply chain is working. The office, not so much. The hotels, not so much. So I'm tracking that one as a really good forward. I'm also looking at the credit metrics. So people like TREP, or I'm looking at bank failures in the Texas ratio. We have a lot of banks. The Fed said they were all healthy. Their stress tests were fine. How many of you have heard of about a friend that had a stress test and they dropped dead the next day? that's how the Fed does stress tests. Our banks are not in good shape. We put all these underpinnings like rent forbearance, mortgage forbearance, the Fed printing money, the Fed buying mortgage-backed securities. We have all of these underpinnings that when they come out, the credit problems will surface. So I'm really looking this Texas ratio, RBC Capital Markets maintains it, deposit account. You can go to a free website and see how your banks are doing. Believe it or not, a state like Texas. So I just did the analysis on Texas and Dallas. Five banks in Metro Dallas have Texas ratios that are 10 to 30%. Well, healthy is 5% or less. What the ratio is a percentage of a bank's capital that's restricted because of bad loans. So you want it really low. You start getting 10, 20, 30%, you get a visit from the FDIC.
They can't do business at that point.
No. So that's why having a relationship with you, knowing who you're doing business with, can they close on the deal? It's absolutely important. So I'm looking at that one. And then I'm also looking at state and fiscal government health, because where companies are onshoring, where they're relocating, they want to know that the community is fiscally solid. And so I look at something like Nuveen, which tracks all of the bonds and the health of cities and municipalities. Well, when a city or a county goes bankrupt, it's called a Chapter 9 bankruptcy. And during the Great Recession, we had 74. My forecast is double that. This next 18 months. The good news is in Florida, you're fiscally pretty good shape. You're not like some of the, you know, northeastern states or other ones.
They were messed up in the beginning.
Yeah. You know? So when you're doing business with a Jim Fried, Jim's going to make sure your lender has capital, and he's not going to close the bank during the transaction. He's going to close the deal. He's going to make sure you don't buy a condo in a fiscally wrecked community or city, and he's going to make sure the sun comes out. So those are my five best items I'm tracking forward.
Well, that's all true, Casey. I can do all those things for people. It seems to me like it's not so great that the most important thing is that people need to stick with it. So let's go back to Yogi. Okay, it ain't over till it's over. And it ain't anywhere near over.
Yeah.
You may just be getting started.
It's just getting started. And he said, you know, when you come to a fork in the road, the old Yogi was take it. The new Yogi, if he was still alive, would be called Jim.
Oh, I love you, Casey.
He'll tell you to go right or left.
Oh, you're tremendous. We'll have you back on to do more ads for me. And I know Reagan's going to be cutting that stuff up and making sure I can send that out. Reagan, you just heard me say that. So listen, Casey, I want to just take a couple of minutes to talk on a personal basis. Okay. You're one of my favorite people. Okay. You're an educator. You're a public employee. You've been directly impacted by all of this. I want you to know that the first segment was for people like us, people that are flexible, people that are working out of their home, people that have outside trauma and difficulties, because the reality is that it doesn't matter. I'll say it again later, but I'll say it now too. The person wants to do something finds a way. The other finds an excuse. And that's what it's all about, Casey. You're one of the finest examples of a person that I know. And you're one of the finest examples of an economist in real estate that I know. Put that together. Yeah, I got you there, didn't I?
You did.
I got you there. You know, the real estate part is great. But today's world, people are choosing to surround themselves with wonderful, good-hearted people. I will personally recommend that you're one of the best of those that I've ever met. Your heart's always in the right place. You always try to bring a smile to what you're doing. You always try to spice it up a little. But the most important thing is you're transparent and honest. And I want to thank you for that, for being part of my network, for bringing your insights to all my friends. The people that couldn't watch live are going to download it. They already told me. And I can't wait to schedule you again when we come back and do this all again. Casey Conway, my favorite economist. You know who I'm introducing him to. That's everybody.
You're very kind, Jim. You know, I was a little down this past week, a lot of things going on, and you reminded me of what I advised people early in the pandemic, and that was look up and forward, because you can never see the light at the end of the tunnel if you're not looking up and forward, and do what if thinking. So whatever's not working today, use your network to do what if, to figure out how do I make it work. And you embody that, and you got me looking back up this week, and I appreciate it.
KC, there's absolutely nothing that you could say that would make me feel better than the fact that I was able to help you stay on the ball. This has been a great show. I want to thank KC Conway. I want to thank our mindfulness folks from the first half. I want to thank Tina Mendito for putting that together. I want to thank Reagan Mendoza for spinning the show. And I want to thank Rebecca Carlson for helping me market it. I want to thank all of our sponsors, especially Warren Henry Automotive and the University of Florida Center for Bergstrom, Center for Real Estate Studies, the Bergstrom Center. I want to thank all of our viewers and listeners. Remember, the person wants to do something, finds a way. The other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen. This one's for you, KC. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America. Reagan, bring it home. Love you, KC.
Thank you, Jim.